Attention students, the Jabroni University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
What is that?
The future of radio, you jabronis.
Coming to you from the fabulous Safe for Work studios in Bradenton, Florida, it's New Jabroni Pro Wrestling with me, Daniel Salorzano, and Bonesaw Ryan Rudnick.
A very respectful, oh yeah.
Welcome, new listeners. If the only thing that was holding you back from listening to us before is because I used to cuss at a rate of about 1,000 times a minute, we ain't doing that no more. So,
speak for yourself.
It's a new beginning for me. It's a new beginning for you. And apropos of everything, we're talking the new beginning in Osaka, baby.
It's a new beginning for the United Empire.
The show will be safe for work until I start cussing, and then and then right back into the gutter.
Yep. I'm using the stopwatch. It does not need to go very far.
Well, For brevity's sake, let's do the business here and start chopping, because much like the show that I thought was making excellent time, it was going to be nice and short. I got to the end, and man, that cage match was so long.
I was planning on watching that one before we recorded. I'm like, I better start now. Let me check in on this. Hour 30 minutes? Oh, I clearly accidentally clicked the entire show button, right? This was right? Oh god, no.
Yeah, it was, but no time wasted.
That War Games format's a killer.
For news and content updates, be sure to follow us on Instagram at JU Wrestling and of course at JabroniUWrestling.com. If you want merch, head over to our Threadless store at JabroniU.threadless.com. Just go to the link tree, linktr.ee/JU Wrestling, and that'll give you all the links you could ever want.
We planted a link seed, and it grew many limbs.
That's right, baby. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen, and remember to give us that sweet Dave Meltzer 5-star rating, bookmark us on Instagram, or tell us how you feel directly at jabroniuwrestling@gmail.com. Oh, look at this. We have an email already. Dear JU guys, already not cussing anymore. I hate the show and I don't want to listen to it. Signed, Darth Randall. Well, thanks for your concerns there, buddy.
I'm just glad that we didn't go into the opening business and find out that, oh no, it's littered with F-bombs. We're going to have to rewrite this on the fly. Thank goodness for that.
Oh gosh. Oh, okay. Let's dive in. And honestly, most of this conversation is going to be about that cage match, because you said, hey, I'm gonna start watching the show. I was like, you can probably just skip the first half of it. And
oh, I mean, that's a given. If I see more than four names in a match, I need to look a little harder and be sure that there's no reason I need to be watching that.
I think that's a good rule, but also at the same time, I do feel like I haven't been failed by watching some of these earlier matches. I mean, it's always fun too when you have the time.
Yeah, but it's never a waste of time, but it's just, do I have the time?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, also it's a proper show, so someone might pop out, or you know, Izuka might appear in the Rambo, and then
yeah,
and then the Iron Fingers are sure to follow.
And then this is usually the time when I do actually like to watch a full card. If I didn't let this kind of sneak up on me, the seeing everybody's face at least once, like, oh yeah, Kojima's a guy that exists. Oh yeah, they've got Hanma too. Like, just know, you got to remind myself that they exist, and that's what these matches are for.
It is true. Speaking of people who exist, it's the butt of Ryusuke Taguchi.
He's always around.
Could probably say ass on that one, though. I feel like that word's generally safe. If we limit it to one a show, it's fine.
I think that's fair. That one's grandfathered in.
He's with Oleg. They're taking on Yo and Yano. And man, Oleg is so big. I think we had this revelation of how big he was last time.
Yeah.
He's Ichiban Meat Boy, isn't he?
Yes, I think so. I believe that is correct.
And I saw him next to Yano, and Yano's a good litmus for, oh, that's right. Yano's very big. So he.
That's right. That's a good point.
Yeah, dwarfing Yano. Oleg and Taguchi start deadlifting their opponents, but Taguchi's back gives out and Yo sneakily rolls up Taguchi.
Oh.
While Oleg is still in the background, just, tormenting Yano. Somehow.
He's deadlifting Yano? Nice.
Yeah, somehow no Yano-ishness comes into play in this match whatsoever.
being a human, you know, weight. Yeah, exercise equipment is that's close.
Yeah, I'll give it to him. Bishamon takes on O'Conn and Callum Newman. Chris says, "What do you think of Bishamon?" And Shane Hayes says, "I don't have anything we want."
True.
And then Bishamon wins. And Shane Hayes goes, "Whoop de doo, boys, you won."
You guys are only interesting when you're holding the titles, and even then, at least not to me.
Oh, goodness gracious. House of Torture take on Hanma, Tiger Mask, Shota, and Despy. Despy's mask supports his excellent ponytail now.
Yeah. I like the hair choices.
He went to Bushi's outer mask guy and said, "I need something that covers up only most of my head." So yeah. That works. Surprise, House of Torture cheats and Sho grabs the victory, and they do something. He wins the junior championship as well. He just takes that along with him. So once again, they have stolen a championship that does not belong to them.
It's a good gimmick. It works.
Yeah, it's fine.
Possession's 9/10 of the law.
It keeps things moving.
Yeah.
Also, Shota is never going to be the ace of New Japan until he starts selling getting spray painted on like it's an aerosol can full of acid. It's humiliating, but Shawn Michaels would have sold it.
Stuff burns. Oh, God, no. A beautiful face.
And speaking of that spray paint, Evil spray painting the Never title black is the best thing he could have possibly done, because an all black title looks so good.
Yeah.
We move on to Just Five Guys at LIJ. I almost don't even care to read the notes that I wrote, because I just don't care about this combination of people whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And mainly because Sonata's in the match, so it makes me not care about anyone else in the match.
Naturally.
Even though, admittedly, now that he doesn't have the title, he's slightly more interesting.
He's just plummeting back to where he belongs in the middle of the card.
The Doki Hiromu segment in that match is good, not just because of Hiromu. So that's a spoiler for the future, but we're gonna get Doki and Hiromu on, I think, night two of New Beginning in Sapporo. So
okay, that's what the people want. Some Doki.
Yeah,
Doki's been looking good.
I love me some Doki, and if he can beat down a downtrodden Hiromu who doesn't have a title on him, then all the more power to him.
And who definitely is not competing in Fantastica Mania, and is definitely not tired from that, and his blossoming music career.
Yeah,
a cappella music career.
Merciless voiceover schedule in the studio. God, it's so funny. I can't remember whose Twitter it was, but
it was Walker Stewart, Velvet Voice WS, something like that.
Go to Walker Stewart's Twitter, and he's got a video of the overdub for one of the wrestlers in Fantastica Mania, and Just watch it. It's funny.
Who definitely is not Hiromu.
Listen, I think more teams need good tandem offense to make you really go, now that's a team. And Just Five Guys has a five-man tandem offense. They call it Just Five Boots. And they all lock arms like they're at a chorus line, and they all just booted Doki right in the chest. Or Bushi,
like
rather.
They're the Rockettes doing the can-can.
Yeah, it's great. It's not fast or impressive, but five people kicking someone all at once, coordinated. It's just awesome. It's just good wrestling.
That's good. And then you gotta have a team move.
And obviously they caved in both of Bushi's lungs because he tapped two skull ends. And
nobody does that. You gotta really soften him up if you're gonna get him to tap a skull end.
We're now treated by Okada's last a vignette for his last match in Korakuen Hall. So there's footage of him in Korakuen Hall, where he tearfully said his goodbyes.
Weeping like a woman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be using
dignity.
That. Just, spoiler alert, I'm going to be using that button a lot tonight.
It's a busy show. It's a busy show for that button.
Tanahashi comes out to theme altered due to copyrights.
What? I was happy that happened, because like for the first time ever, the mix on the volume was nice, so I could actually hear the entrance music, and I'm like, this theme rocks, yes. Give me that ace. Because that's always one of my production complaints. You never, like, some of these guys have great songs, and you don't hear them very well, so.
Right,
For us American fans, like, what music tells us how to feel in wrestling.
Right, and so the reason why this thing is, you know, so good sounding up in the mix is because he didn't come out to his theme. He came out to his old theme, High Energy, which is what we played at the beginning of the show. Which for some reason New Japan doesn't have the rights to this song. I guess
it's really funny. I figured it was something. It had to be something like that. But I'm like, hey, don't mess with the good thing.
I mean his current theme is excellent, so it's fine. That's what we got to hear. But I had to go to Reddit to find that out. I was like, theme altered? That doesn't make any sense.
So funny.
So, Okada and Tanahashi, the final Okada match with Tanahashi. He's still got an actual final match.
He's got one more to go. But this is the one that matters.
This building is just unhinged for Okada.
Mm-hmm.
Okada ties Tanahashi's head into the barricade and gives it a kick to a gale of booze. Osaka, how fickle. How very,
you are
very
cold.
Fickle of you.
You bumpkins.
And Okada kept doing stuff like that. I feel like Osaka's like, no, you don't understand. You don't treat Tanahashi like that around these parts. I don't care if it's your last match with Tanahashi. Yeah.
That's not what we signed up for.
Tana gets every last bit of that aces high that he does to the outside, and it gets a replay. Yeah,
it was pretty good.
It's always good.
That's true.
And this
that's why
listen,
he's dying.
It's a good match. We don't really need a lot of notes for this match. We've seen this match 1,000 times. It's Okada rolls out all the hits. Tanahashi rolls out all the hits.
Yeah. They dug deep on this one.
Yeah. Heavy rain. That's not a thing that Okada busts out so often. So
yeah.
Tombstone Rainmaker. Tana reverses that into a small package. Just caught his arm and just rolled him up. Rainmaker and Okada's the new TV champ. Nope, no, hold on a second. This is not a title match.
If only.
Yeah, Okada embraces Tanahashi.
Weeping like a woman.
And then he bows down to Osaka.
Weeping like a woman.
Again. He's just, it's just happening.
No control.
No.
No respect for himself.
When they saw my patented pile driver. Oh, your father remembers me. Moltar from the mountains of Moltor. Gorillas of Destiny. That's not either of the Tamas or Tongas.
It's so funny because you told me that, and I'm like, I'm looking up and down the card. I'm like, I don't see them anywhere. It took me two passes to remember. Oh, they're G.O.D. now.
Yeah,
my bad. Sorry, guys.
They take on Kenta and Chase Owens for the IWGP Tag Championships.
An easy win for the new champions, right? Help solidify their reign. I mean, Chase Owens is one of their opponents. How could they possibly lose?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I kind of tuned out on this one until Kenta started smacking Hikuleo in the back of the head.
That was good.
Who then subsequently choke-slammed him for doing that. Yeah. And I enjoy what is not a disproportionate retort.
No. That is the correct reaction.
Super Thunderkiss 86, and Chase pulls the ref out before he can count to three. Taiji Ishimori blasts everyone with a belt. Kenta blasts Hikuleo and the gonads of Destiny, and Chase and Kenna are the tag team champs, apparently.
What's going on?
Yeah, I can't think of I can't think of anyone who deserves to have a belt more in New Japan, and also Chase Owens. So,
yes. not taking away from Kenta, but we had a nice long build of like getting these guys. They got their championship at Wrestle Kingdom. We need some new. It's time for some new blood. Old GODs out. New GODs in.
Yeah, baby. Baby faces of destiny.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
Baby faces of destiny. And yeah. Let's let these guys run for a little bit. Let's get them at least a win or two. Let's have them lose to Chase Owens.
Yeah.
Do some nonsense too. Jado getting fooled.
Afterwards, Chase looks over to Kenta. He's like, "Should we play him like guitars?" And Kenta's like,
"Out of tune."
Yeah, and Kenta's like, "Kenta plays bass."
Yeah, lets his fingers do the walking.
All this talk about how the landscape is going to change with no Okada, no Ospreay at all, and this tag division is just getting sillier than ever.
Yeah, not. Not what I'd expect in a time of such upheaval and transition and change. Like, hey, let's settle on some things here. We just moved. I don't understand.
Yeah, I can understand the mentality of going, let's throw something at the wall and see what sticks.
A team out of nowhere, which includes Chase Owens. It's so strange.
I like the idea of Bullet Club having more gold
that part of Bullet. That's like Bullet House of Bullet Club. Like that's they're the weird in between people that.
Yeah, like
Bullet Club's a mess, and they're the ones that don't even fit either of the two split personalities.
Right, and so I jotted this down a little later in the show, but I'll say it now since we're talking about it. War Dogs have their own individual Chiron.
They're them and House of Torture have set themselves apart like very well. They've established very unique identities. They're laying into them very well. Like it's fine. That's fine. But it's just like it's like these holdovers. Which I mean, hey, look, the obvious answer. How bad would War Dogs be with Crazy Uncle Kenta hanging around and advising them on how to be insane and violent? I think that works. I think he has a place over there. Not so much a dirty trickster. Chase Owens, he can go over to that side of the team.
Yeah, honestly, they're like, Kenta's still got some mileage left in him. We only have fat old toothless man telling us what to do, sticking up our Bullet Club. Stomp him out.
We don't need baby fat Shawn Michaels.
Jeez.
We don't need Charlie Kelly with endurance.
And also, you know, I'm just going to say it. The optics of having Chase Owens in your squeaky clean heel organization, you know, none of those people have had allegations leveraged against them the way that Chase Owens has. So, like, I would not want to work with the guy either if I'm sort of new or where. I don't know. It's whatever. Anyway, let's move on to some real graps.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr., Bryan Danielson, and we figured Zachy Techers was going to win this one.
Yeah, yeah, it's the fair trade.
This match is good, and I'm glad that I watched it and then quit after this and then came back to the cage match.
Oh yeah, no, that'd have been a bad move.
Yeah, I already forgot about this match, and not because it was good, just because the cage match was such a spectacle.
So on top of that too, it's like, I saw I was getting this match. I turned that one on after G.O.D. But it never came. Good match. Great to see these guys. But it's like, I didn't feel like we really plowed any new territory here with this. It kind of left me wanting. Other than the fact that I'm glad Zach got the win because he needed some sweet revenge. But other than that, and didn't get a tap out, so I guess we're probably gonna get the third, maybe get a third match, get a little submission I quit match type thing going. See what goes on there, because they were both talking big game about tapping the other one out. We still haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's with Okada potentially going to AEW, which I
do. We still call it potential. Didn't somebody send out a tweet one of the people. Like Sean Ross.
I don't
like one of those people who actually knows.
Until I see the flash card after he debuts, I'm not saying anything. I don't know if I'm Okada, going to AEW seems like a lateral move, unless the only thing Okada is interested in is more money.
His rainmaking.
Yeah, that's rainmaking ain't cheap. All that money's coming out of his personal, you know, his personal piggy bank account. So
yeah, I don't want to put it on a guy because, like, yeah, give me the two options of, like, yeah, do I want to work harder and possibly achieve greatness, or do I want to work less and make more money and have a nice cushy gig for a good time? Like, yeah, I'll probably take that cushy gig for a while. I get it, but. And I don't know, the top of the game. Like, I think that's, as much as I hate WWE, that's the place to be.
Ultimately, he'd still probably be working a cushy gig at WWE anyway.
I mean, they still make him do house shows and stuff, though.
Yeah. I mean,
the travel's still there, and the constant house shows. You're doing 100 shows a year, possibly.
Yeah, but what is doing 12 shows a month at Cork and Hall?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he's already lived that life of, like, constantly riding the trains, riding the buses, and, like, let's get from venue to venue, and we're doing the 6-man tags every freaking day. Like, that would be it. It's like, I'm top of the heap. Like, I don't want to do those anymore. Maybe that would be it.
I don't have a problem with him. You know, just taking a year or two vacation over in AEW and then hopping over to WWE.
Yeah. But
it's
time's catching up.
Yeah. And man, just to mention all the WWE stuff that happened while we were gone.
Oh God. Exhausting.
You ever walk out to the grocery store to pick up some toilet paper, and then you come back and your house is engulfed in flames.
What happened? Oh God. You look away. You looked away for 1 minute.
Yeah. It's a bad, and the rot, apparently it goes pretty deep. The landscape of the future is, you know what, at least there seem to be people at the top who immediately understand the optics of the situation. Mm. both in that they immediately were like, okay, we're doing everything that we can to make people not be talking about this,
yeah,
by distracting people with, you know, whatever the Dwayne Johnson makes a critical error in going, I'm gonna headline WrestleMania against Roman Reigns because that's what everyone wants to see. And then everyone was like, no, the F it's not.
No.
And then he's like, just kidding. Cody Rhodes was the main event all along. That was always the plan. But also, I'm the boss of Roman now or something. It's... please don't boo me. Please stop booing.
I need you to go to see my movies. You stop doing that too, please.
Trust me, that landscape in the DC Cinematic Universe, it's gonna change. I'm telling you. Maybe not now, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of our lives, it's gonna change. Black Adam's gonna be just as big as Superman.
Give it time. It's going to be a cult classic. Sometimes these things take a little while to get percolating. No, it's just crazy because, like, also at the same time as I watch a few more YouTube channels and stuff than I did before, but I feel like very quickly everyone's like, after the press conference and the, just kidding, everything's back to the sort of the way it was, but maybe it's not. And now it's, maybe we're a tag match or something. I don't know. Like, everyone's like, oh no, this is just crazy now. And I'm back on liking it again. It's just like, no, man, you played your hand, and it's obvious what you were trying to do. We all saw the playbook. You tipped your hand right when you were playing your cards, and we didn't want those cards, and we booed The Rock. Like, I don't understand how quickly we can go back and like this is okay. Like, although I'll give them credit, they at least WWE can still tell enough story to like make me want something, and then break my heart by never giving it to me. So.
Yeah, well,
you know, big ups for that.
And this, here's the million-dollar question. What is better, having the place being run by someone who could immediately go, no, this is not a good idea, let's switch gears, or having an alleged face defecator, Vince McMahon, doubling down into oblivion until
no, you're right about that. Yeah, at least it was the quickest pivot possible.
So, well, I mean, you know, we'll see. You know, the guy money wise was successful for a really long time, but then also, you know, we've experienced wrestling where we more or less get what we want for the most part. With, you know, to the best of New Japan's abilities and what, you know, players they have to give us what we want.
Yeah. No, they're pretty good on happy endings.
So, yeah, whatever. Let's look back at New Japan right now.
Yeah.
We got to talk about what we need. The first thing that I need Zack Sabre Jr. to run that mod haircut back that he had in the opening package. It was just long and shaggy.
Yes,
Beatles hair.
Funny.
Ooh, yeah, man.
Good.
Love to see him.
That was some good footage.
Yeah. The match starts up and it goes on for a while, and so far it's just a couple of whiny boys rolling around doing graps.
Yeah, just grabbing each other.
And you know how hard it is to describe a Zack Sabre Jr. match, so the notes are always kind of what they are. Zack launched into a corner, and then he just flew onto Danielson with like a front guillotine thing. It was just really fast, and it happened, and it was good. Zack has both of his arms tied around his own neck, and he slides out under Danielson's legs. Just gives him a little kick at the bottom.
Smooth, windy boy.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I had to run back the incredibly exaggerated leg injury of Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, that did I miss something?
Yeah, they sold Brian Snapmare like ZSJ made the worst mistake of his entire career.
Yeah,
and I had to go back like three times. I was like, oh no, like they're just. Doing their job in the booth.
They're just having a laugh.
Yeah. Brian surfboards Zack Sabre Jr., but not before tormenting him by just punching him in the lower back.
Yeah, that's how you soften him up, right? It's the only way to get those arms back.
Yeah, So...
kidney shots.
I think Brian Danielson wrestles the kind of match that he wrestles, but if he's wrestling Zack Sabre Jr., he's going to wrestle this version of the match that he wrestles, and yes. I really like this.
Yes.
I like the graps, and I also like, oh yeah, but don't forget I'm in Blackpool Combat Club, so...
Yeah, I hit really hard.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to hurt you real bad. Legs locked, and Brian has clearly gone to the Tetsuya Naito school of being a huge friggin' jag.
How did I get here? I don't know.
Yeah, just spitting in his face. They start pounding on each other, and he spits in his face again. Ugh. Brian jumping knees off the apron, and he starts a yes chant. And that's always funny because you forget that he's Brian Danielson, and people don't just start chanting yes for him now out of nowhere. So him getting one going is always, you know, just a funny little reminder that, you know, 10 years ago, people couldn't stop chanting yes
for anything.
Like, yeah, exactly. Danielson jumps off the turnbuckle right into a triangle, and Zach just starts blasting him in the face with elbows.
You can play at this game.
Yeah, it's Zach was getting violent in this one too, and it's, don't forget, he was in Suzuki Goon for a long time.
Yeah, he gets angry.
A "This is awesome" chant erupts in Japan for Tekkers. Never
that
thought
one,
I'd say
that the, one that, guy that. Screaming throughout the whole GOD match finally got a chant going.
Never thought I'd say that combination of words.
Oh man.
A super Saito suplex gets a two count. The Zack Driver pin attempt made Osaka come unglued. And at that point, I was like, oh yeah, here we go, baby. Yeah. Brian goes for a lariat. Zack puts him in a triangle, but Danielson breaks free and starts elbowing him in the face. I thought it was over when he got both of Zack's arms behind his back. But Zack Sabre Jr. gets his leg over Brian's face. And I was like, oh, that's the counter to that horrible, horrible move that you've made people die hundreds of times. And I like that Zack was, you know, probably just sitting on that like, oh, yeah, that's easy to get out of. Yeah. Just get your leg over their face and just kick them until they let go of you.
We learned something today.
Yes, we did. The industry is best kept secret. And he kept it secret until the pivotal moment. Now we're going to see people start doing that.
All the time.
Yep, and it's, you know, it's okay. It's fine. Listen, it was not for naught, so there we go.
Yes.
Fight Forever chant, probably from the same guy.
It's same jerk.
I spent $11,000 to be here tonight.
I'm gonna chant. Even if you guys aren't gonna join me.
Pinning exchange. People are stomping their feet. It's just the rumbling in Osaka.
The madness.
Zack flips out of a backslide attempt and runs right into a psycho knee. Such a good escape.
Yeah. Also, for naught.
Immediately thwarted. Another pinning exchange. Tekkers. Zack Sabre Jr. wins by pinfall.
Yeah.
Careful, Brian.
Sneaky pin.
He could turn a handshake into a knee bar in an instant, but he does shake his hand. I would have not, you know, shook his hand initially either. And then Zack Sabre Jr., you know, with his eyes always set out for the future. Look out, Okada, because Zitza is ordering for you. Zacky. That's not fair. So
I'm for the windy, not the windor.
And you know, Zack calling out Okada, and then appearing in AEW seems a lot more likely than him calling out Okada, and then there's not a lot of time.
He calls out Okada, and then he comes out for weeks constantly. He's like, I'm calling you out, Okada. Where are you at?
Okada's got it.
You haven't shown your face.
I can say whatever I want to about him. I mean, he's not Zack Sabre Jr. is not going to show up to blast Okada with a chair after a WrestleMania victory.
Probably not.
But
the world will truly have gone mad if that ever happens.
But there is precedence, because Zack Sabre Jr. was in the Cruiserweight Classic. Never forget that.
That's right. Ah, yes. With Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
Classic Cruiserweight Kota Ibushi.
Yeah. Well, here we go on to the main event. War Dogs versus United Empire. And this is Ospreay's last match, and man, Ospreay really, really said, I'm going to make sure you never, ever forget my last match in New Japan.
Yeah.
Listen, I know we immediately draw the War Games comparison, because they, you know, set it up with the entrance like War Games. Let me tell you, just because there's only half as many rings doesn't mean that this match is half as good, and nor does it mean it's half as long.
Yeah, well, War Games doesn't need to have the two rings. Is just extra bonus.
Yeah, it's
real estate, I guess. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's just a little silliness. With this, though, you have the added advantage of, okay, we got to assemble the cage around the ring. We don't have the time, budget, or want to have it, you know, pre-assembled and to drop it down. Yeah. Like, we're fine.
Crane outside.
Yeah, we're fine with everyone, you know, taking a good bathroom break, maybe getting some more food. You're gonna want to before this match.
Oh yeah, that's right. So that's why they had that, makes sense. Because I'm like, this is a really long video package. They've got recapping all this stuff.
Yeah,
I didn't even think of that part.
Yeah, it's just in the entire last time. It was the entire match they had. Mm-hmm. So okay, they assemble the cage. So I'm going to bed. I'm gonna come back to this one tomorrow.
Yeah, no, that's smart.
War Dogs have their own separate. Yeah, there's that note that I said earlier. They have their own. Anyway, was it this confusing when Bullet Club Elite was a thing? That was my question.
Oh goodness, I don't think so.
Yeah,
because I think they were just Bullet Club. But they hung out together, and tagged together a bit more often. But also Kenny was the leader too, so that was the identity anyways.
Yeah, it's ultimately, I don't know, because that was a little bit before we started watching it.
I watched
regularly.
Some, but not regularly enough to know what the true vibe was, but I don't remember anything being so split in factions within factions.
We dropped in for a Wrestle Kingdom, and then we, you know, had a little bit of time to marinate on it, and we're like, you know what, let's go in. Doesn't matter, Bullet Club War Dogs of the future, and the future's looking oh so bright.
This was a very establishing, I mean, granted, they've been doing good work this whole time, but this was a very establishing match for them. Like, this puts them as a big threat, and Meg was very impressive. Even Finley pulled it off.
Yeah.
Because Ospreay can get anyone over.
Poor Finley. It's this match ruled, and at one point I was thinking to myself, how long is this gonna go on? But not in the way that I was bored watching it, just like,
yeah,
how much more do they have left to give? Oh my god, it was crazy.
Right. Yeah.
So we start off with Finley and Ospreay. Ospreay chants during the theme song. They really got this crowd mic'd up real nice.
The
screams.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they love Ospreay, not just in Osaka, but God, they love him. He's gotten himself so over with these guys.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, he really made himself into a pillar of New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of happened naturally for Okada. And now within the span of a month, they no pillars. I mean, Tanahashi.
Crazy to think about it.
Yeah, was Tanahashi president to the last time we had a podcast? I forgot about that. I don't think so.
I think he was.
Either way, yeah. So you've got these new guys who have to sort of be the temporary pillars, lest they become pillars in and of themselves. But I'm excited. It's like, okay, you shoved out all the megastars. We got to start, you know, taking lemons and making lemonade around here. So,
we tried it with Sonata. It didn't work.
Yeah, it's
we took chicken salad. We made chicken worse off.
Yeah, Sonata. Well, I think about all the main event people, and somehow Sonata pops in my mind as a pillar, even though Shingo's right there. I think now that it's time for Zack Sabre Jr. It's time for Shingo again.
Time for Shingo again. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sonata, unless he gave him a major facelift, it still didn't work. No. You know, if you want to make him your new guy of, we need to get this championship off of this person and onto the next person, mm-hmm. then fine.
No way. We've got Evil standing right over there.
Yeah,
he's ready for that job.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine with that.
And I mean that literally, because he'll just steal the title from the person who has it, and then he'll just walk off with it. And then he can just give it to somebody else.
Yeah, Gato, listen, I'll give you time to cook. In the meantime, I'm just gonna take the belt for myself anyway. It didn't work with Sonata. I mean, Evil's there, so you got Shingo, you got Evil, you got Zack Sabre Jr. All those new guys can start going after the lesser titles. And then there's,
yeah.
I mean, if you want to put, I don't necessarily want to put Finley in that same league.
I don't think you can. The ceiling's there.
It's just that he's the leader of Bullet Club, so it's sort of like...
Yeah, no, by that definition, he should be. And that's the frustration, is just like, he has his own limit, and unfortunately the role that they put him in is one where he needs to have a higher ceiling, and I think for most people, he just doesn't. Whatever that is, he ain't got it.
However, the man does have wrestling in his blood. It's... He's only getting better. He's only getting better.
In this role, he is getting, I think he's getting to the best he could be. Yes. I think so too. They could tweak it. Like, he could tweak this and kind of take this in. There is a possibility where he finds a lane that works, but I don't know. Just haven't even seen like that glimmer of hope yet.
Okay. Well, let me also remind you of a young skinny boy named Toa Hanare. It's the
look what he had to go through to get by in respect. 18 hours of painful face tattoos. Well, also the isotoner phase was a nice warm up, a nice suggestion that there were good things to come. The madman in the duster and the isotoners.
Man, I love that. He tried out some things and they worked, and he's like, I'm gonna move on anyway. And that's sort of like, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't afraid to change, even though he had a good thing going. And ultimately, though, people with that mentality, those are the most successful people. So
exactly, yeah. He knew good wasn't great, so he turned into his good and went for it, and he landed with greatness.
But you know, we have at least Shingo, Evil, and Zack Sabre Jr. We've got those people there. Mm. Tanahashi, you know, is there, and and Naito is there, and people love Tanahashi and Naito, and that's fine.
Naito fills that role a lot better than Tanahashi's another one of our like break glass transitional emergency champions or something. We need a draw for a minute and then we're done.
In terms of second tier guys, we got a good bank with Hanare, Jeff Cobb, Taichi, even Great Okan to a lesser extent.
Taichi's one of those ones I really think needs to get that, like, after Dangerous Techers, it seemed like he had a real shot at getting pushed up too. And I think if we're looking at Zack Sabre Jr., I think Taichi should be right in that same conversation. He needs to step up too.
Yeah, that's, listen, I love that. Him hostily taking over Just Five Guys, I like that idea way more than Sonata being anywhere near New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Look, the whole way I have in my head of how Just Five Guys works anyways was, he's like, I want a group. Taka, put it together and make us a video package. All right, cool. All right, Sonata, hey, wait, when did you get that championship? All right, whatever. I don't want to do all the work of being the leader and walking out first. You could do that for now too, but I'm still in charge. Behind the scenes, it's always been Taichi.
He calls him Sonic, bro. He's being ironic.
Yeah.
You thought we were actually bros.
Yeah.
No, what? This is why you're not the champion anymore.
He meant it like Sonic-kun. You know, he's being a little diminutive.
Jeez. All right, well, that was a fun conversation that we maybe might have had later, but we had it now instead, so.
No, it's good. We also, much less like the crew, needed time to assemble the ring. We needed time to identify the players and look out at the landscape. No, I think that's the thing. They're loaded at like that second and middle tier guy. They got so many guys I want to watch, but in that old school way of like, who sells tickets? They're really shallow on that, and that's what's frightening, because it's the way the fan base works there, that being such a ticket driven business is interesting, because it's just not what you expect. You can see AEW is like barely selling any tickets, but they still get their decent ratings on TV, and so they're not going to go anywhere anytime soon. So that's where the money is. That's what really matters.
Look, they're selling a couple thousand tickets a show. I mean, they're not all going to be 15,000 tickets. 15,000 tickets, still a lot of tickets. You know, like WrestleMania alleges to get close to 100,000, and what Wrestle Kingdom does around 80,000. They didn't do so great last year, but on a couple of the two night things they did 80,000 between the two of them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's like 40 on a one nighter.
Doesn't matter. They have enough money to where if they're not hemorrhaging money at AEW, AEW doesn't really have to worry about anything. They have a little bit more room to play around. Their situation is kind of unique though, so it's.
Well, I think that's the good thing too, is like with New Japan, is like they know they need to hurry up and get some draws, because that is the lifeblood of their business. So the incentive is there to figure it out very quickly, which means we're gonna be seeing a lot of Naito.
Yeah, and it's fine.
It's gonna be a long title reign for Naito.
The guy deserves one, and honestly, like, with how fast time passes by these days, six months of title reign is plenty of title reign, because that 6 months will go by really fast. We're already, you know, a month into his title reign.
Yeah, I haven't even seen the guy.
By the time we get to Sapporo, 2 months. So yeah. It's fine. It'll be fine. All right, the cage is assembled now. Osprey gets in there and says, "Hey, freak show, you're going nowhere. I got you for 5 minutes. 5 minutes playtime." And ding ding. So they negotiate 5 minutes, and that's, you know, Finley was actually the one who said you get 5 minutes, so it's fine.
The 5 minute truce coming back to bite him in the ass. Oh, whoopsie.
Yeah,
we talking about Rusev Taguchi. Clearly,
it's the same one from before. It's fine. I don't think we're gonna get burned for that one too much. We one every half hour. That sounds like a good average.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
five. All right, let's see. Okay. They start getting into it. That steel cage does not have as much give as those barricades do. Osprey gets slammed into that thing. I was like, ooh, ouchie. Yeah.
That's a steel cage.
Yeah, that is a steel cage. 5 minutes elapse, and out comes Drilla Maloney with Callum Newman's corpse and a bandolier of forks.
Hey, Callum, you're not supposed to be out here yet. You're cheating.
He cuffs Newman.
That's right, all the forks.
Yeah. He cuffs Newman to the cage, and oh yeah, he's dressed like Rambo. It plays because he looks like Rambo.
He has a good Rambo look.
Out comes Sonare. Connors comes out with... He comes out with a stinger and starts rubbing it in Ospreay's face. And yeah, they... You ain't allowed to use that no more.
No.
But when you're a steel cage, there's no rules, so use it. Use exactly. it, I say. TJP comes out with his own barbed wire. He wraps it around his boot and face washes Clark Connors. And I think that was the first of many times I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Alex Coughlin comes out to the ring with a dozen chairs on his arms.
On each arm.
He gut wrenches Hanare and Ospreay and then back body drops both of them simultaneously. And then he torpedoes TJP into the cage. And he buries him with chairs and then he chucks Hanare onto TJP. So if we're just counting best entrances, I think he had the strongest entrance. Which
yes,
is,
I think so too. It's great.
You know, Wes was talking about the Bullet Dogs in the group chat. He's like, I don't see a future IWGP World Heavy Champion, World Heavyweight Champion, amidst the one of them. And Alex Coughlin's pretty great. I don't know if he'll ever hold that big boy belt. Or I mean, Wes is probably right, but that's
I'm with Wes.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to be.
Gabe Kidd's the wild card there. I think.
Gabe Kidd is the one that I would say if anyone in that group could do it, it's Gabe Kidd for sure.
He hits so hard.
He's a madman, and it's, you know, everyone made El Fantasmo made fun of him for it, but you know it's he is a madman.
Yeah.
Okay, Akira comes out. He does a crossbody off the top of the cage and starts beating the tar.
From the other side.
He starts beating the tar out of everyone with a kendo stick. I mean, really, really lays into Finley. I'm pretty sure he got him right on the face with one. And like, if Finley doesn't have a big giant bruise on his head, like a knot or a bruise on his face, he went off. He went right off. He then immediately gets speared through a table by Clark Connors.
good to see the tables. This one actually broke, right?
Oh yeah, it's.
I feel like the last couple nights, like all the people are going into tables and they're not breaking.
Yeah, which is weird because they got those dinky balsa wood tables.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's less surface area to hit, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're a little sturdier.
Out comes Kid with a mini dumpster full of plunder, and he starts chucking stuff into the ring, which is a weird choice because the berth of that entrance was such that he could easily wield it in. He didn't need to start chucking stuff over, but he did.
It's fun throwing stuff. Makes loud noises.
And then he gets the chairs, and he just starts chucking chairs at everyone. I love watching people throw chairs at people. I can't think of anything that's more dangerous. Because you catch it. This happened to AJ Styles that one time. He got a chair thrown at his face and he just gushing blood.
Whoops.
Now, he's chucking the chairs at everyone. Cobb comes out and he just starts throwing everyone everywhere.
Finally.
Meanwhile, Gabe Kidd is going, whoop, 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 with a ladder around his neck, and everyone's just running into it.
You think you'd learn.
Osprey does his backhand spring double Pele kick into the ladder and just balls over the two people. I think it was Clark Connors and Drilla.
I think so. That was fun.
Drilla drop toe holds Akira into a chair, and then he gets chucked into a table. It's just people just gain ground and immediately lose it in this match.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here comes the Oswong.
Oh, okay. Figured, I was surprised he didn't come out like that in the first place.
Yeah, well,
I knew that was coming.
he got taken out of the equation pretty early.
True.
Connors run. Oh, this part was sick. Connors runs up TJP's back to superplex Akira over Drilla's body. Oh, they were all four in the corner. That was. I like that a lot. It's good to know that in the middle of this death zone, you would be like, oh, let's do some cool tag team moves. I'm like, why not?
Before the ring gets too messed up.
Hanari is back with a bandage on his head.
It looked like he had a toothache.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. And Osprey gets a Drilla Killer into a pile of people. So it's this match is madness. It's not over. It's not even close.
It's probably like 20 more minutes.
red shoes just set like is this the part where he separates everyone? Yeah, he separates everyone. It's just like enough. Catch a bubble. Hold on a second. The war dog's like. it's wonderful. Wonderful. The crowd gets a minute to just go, great job, great job.
Master of the moment.
Clark Connors suicide dives through Osprey into a table. Through the road. Just, oh, so good. So very good. Hanari and Kid face back off, and it's very exciting. Did you watch that match between the two of them?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Man, awesome. That match was really good.
Yeah.
So now they're like, hey, remember that thing that happened a week ago?
Yeah, it's so great because it's like, okay, now we instantly have history for these guys every time from now on. Like, we'll always be like, oh, it's like that one time.
Yeah, and it...
That match was incredibly great.
It seems to me like Gabe Kidd has the foresight to do that with the couple of people that he likes to work with, because that was... Mm-hmm. He did that during G1 with... Kaito and who else did he have the really crazy match with?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember, but yes, did do that.
Yes, he immediately was like, I don't like you, and I don't like you, and you're gonna remember this press conference when we're back in the ring, buddy, because it's not gonna go well. So he setting those little things up. Very, very smart on Gabe Kidd's part.
And he definitely had a great match with Chase Owens. That was the first one I just saw in my notes. I'm remembering that match, and that one was great.
That was just a little taste of hey, yeah. this is the way the tides are going. This is what Bullet Club is now. Get with the program or don't. Your choice.
I don't care.
All right. So they start facing off. It's exciting. Hanari punches a hole through Kid's chair, and then he plasters him with his own chair. Coughlin now has two kendo sticks, and all I can think of is like, oh God, what is he going to do with these two kendo sticks? And nothing could have prepared me for what he actually did, which was tossing them down to TJP and Akira and be like, come on, hit me.
Yeah, that was surprising.
And it was... It was great. He went into a trance, and he's got those he's got those piercing eyes and that excellent mustache. And the mustache doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's just excellent. And oh God, I love Alex Coughlin. Hanare off the cage into Coughlin through the tables.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Shouldn't have let those boys soften you up with those kendo sticks.
No.
But
big mistake.
You know, at that point, we got raw. We just got raw adrenaline running through everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Clark's got thumbtacks. I hope that booze he's drinking is very strong.
I think that speaks to the quality of the match. It's like the thumbtacks came out, and I didn't go, oh, thumbtacks, Jesus. I was like, this is the natural progression.
Yes.
Like, this is where this had to go.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know what I was expecting for this match, but in terms of matches like this, we've seen a lot of matches like this lately. Not me so much, because I don't ever watch AEW, because I'm kind of tired of it. Yeah. Whatever these boys did differently, people should strive to emulate that. And I don't know if it's because they let the whole thing unfold over the course of an hour. The fact that it was Will Ospreay's last night, I don't know. I think they just got lightning in a bottle with this one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you texted to me. It's like, I see why they only do this every 10 years or so. It's because they don't do this very often. So it's really interesting to see them do this. And it all meant something that much more. You're also correct. I think that going the hour long made it so it's like, okay, we don't have to like kill each other and then immediately go to the next spot where we kill each other. There's 10 of them too. So you get to spread it out over different people. It all just made more sense. And the faction, like, you actually feel this hatred between the two factions, so that they felt the need for the violence and the containment. It just all, this is how you earn a match like this. That you earn the right to put on a match like this. You can't just do it every pay-per-view because you want to.
And there is a logical justification for someone getting taken out in part of a match and then not showing back up until later. That isn't just, oh, there's three of us in a ring, let me body slam you, and then you roll out and disappear for 5 minutes.
Yeah, we just handcuffed everybody to the cage.
Yeah, that's...
he wanted to come back in, I swear. Look, he was trying. Or, I mean, with the Hanari thing, like, they were hammering it a little hard, because they're like, oh, okay, well, he's definitely coming back, but it's like, oh, no, he's getting, like, fully checked out, he looks concussed, like, we're really worried about him right now. So, for a second, I'm like, am I really worried about him? Is this possibly really worrying? Because, but then they kept doing it, I'm like, no, he's coming back. Not a problem.
I'm glad that you caught that, because I didn't see any of that on account of how furiously I was jotting down notes.
Oh, I never saw it, which is the funny part. I was like, I never saw any of it happening, but Chris and Walker hammering in the point.
Okay, then I did not hear them. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Oh my God. TJ, this is Clark now. He's just brought in the thumbtacks. TJ slams him down just front first.
I love that they contained it to that little square too. So it was a good target filled with them. And also then the rest of the ring is just littered with thumbtacks, which I always feel so bad for everybody then. It's like, gotta walk all over those things.
Oh,
for some reason it sounds like the worst part to me.
Well, no, well,
not
yeah.
Going look, face and, first like Clark Connors did.
And also, I think there's something to be said about getting a bunch of razor sharp tacks piercing 100 different parts on your body versus an isolated tack that you're not ready for and like getting body slammed into it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this idea. Contain the tacks in a small area. So he slams him down front first and he dumps him again.
He did a pratfall, like dead man, dead boar just fell straight back and like landed on his head.
Oh, yeah, he did. But he popped up and ran into a tour of the islands, and then Fiddly just breaks the pin up with a kendo stick.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's right.
Namely, because it's shillelagh time.
Stupid shillelagh. In a world where kendo sticks exist, the shillelagh is still the weakest weapon.
A concerto on Cobb by Finley, and he just rolls him out of the ring and cuffs him to the cage. So yeah, they're doing a lot of handcuffing. Finley stuns Ospreay out of his Oz cutter and eats a hidden blade in the face.
That's right, he popped right out of that one.
I love when you're just on autopilot and you mount some kind of horrible horrible mm-hmm. offense. It's just great. Double into oblivion. Osprey still kicks out.
I don't know. I thought that it didn't feel like we were building there yet, but I'm still surprised he kicked out of that.
Right. And this was like, okay, the end of the match is coming here. Here comes Gato with a barbed wire wrap table. Nope. Doesn't look like it's ending. Oh, thank God Ocon is here. And he immediately just takes a key to the eye for Gato.
That's right. I'm like, what's Gato's new weapon? He's got like spiky brass knucks now.
He just
a key.
Just jammed him in the eye. But he's not down long. Ocon takes that key and starts uncuffing people. Cal Newman has been handcuffed to this cage for 45 minutes, by the way.
That's what you get, Rook.
And Osprey has the temerity to say, the future pillars of this company are Shota Umino, Yoda Tsuji, and Cal Newman. I think you just had to say that because that guy's in your faction or he's your buddy or something. I don't look at Callum Newman and go, he's the future of New Japan. I look at him and go, he's the future of GCW. He's the kind of guy who would appear on the indies and tear it up, and he would do very well for himself. Not the future of New Japan.
No, that was and then the moment where the Oscutters in stereo is like, what are we passing a torch here? Like, no.
Yeah, it's
Jeff Cobb's time.
It's fine. Will Ospreay had to say something, and we all know what the score is.
Exactly.
Ospreay slams. Am I in the right spot? Okay. Ospreay slams Kid's face into the barbed wire table and rakes his face the way down. Finley powerbombed into the barbed wire table, and he still kicks out.
That was bananas.
Drilla stabs Ospreay in the face with a fork, the prelude to him getting a pile driver off the apron from Kid through the ladders. Gosh, it's all... I guess all these things just hit so much better when you don't constantly see them all the time. Mm-hmm. It's really, really true. It's just, I groan when these matches happen anywhere else. And this one, I didn't know what to expect. I just knew it was going to be a steel cage match. I was like, it'll be what it is. I didn't think that they were going to go in this direction with it. And they did. Yeah. And it ruled.
Yeah.
Drilla stabs Akira with a fork. He was just going after him because he was gushing blood. Akira just goes ballistic at that point. And he murders. He just murders Drilla after that. Then he does a Luthes press into Connors to get the dog Carlyle away from him. And he hangs him over the top rope. And everyone loves a good Luthes press. By everyone, I mean us, but also it should be everyone.
But everyone. Even if they don't know they love it, their heart flutters a little bit whenever it happens. I know it.
TJP gets the assist super pile driver from Finlay and Kid. Now they're taking the ring apart. And at this point, I'm like, okay, this is the death knell for Ospreay.
Time to start wrapping this up.
Yeah. What else can they do? You know what was great? Mm-hmm. That ladder came out for Spinneroony time. It never came back again.
That's true.
Yeah, proof positive. You just don't need to have a ladder in these kind of matches. It doesn't make any sense.
Unless you're doing a Spinneroony.
Unless you do it, yeah. It's one and done. There's plenty of high places to get to that aren't from the top of a ladder. So now they're taking the ring apart. This really is at this point of the match. I'm just like, stop. They're already dead.
I just hate seeing the ring get tore up. That does something to my neat and orderliness. That I don't know.
Oh,
makes me uncomfortable.
Listen, those Those loose floorboards didn't do anything to assuage my misgivings about any of this.
No.
I was just like, well, they've taken something that's going to be, if anything, more painful, and now have added a unnecessary element of danger to it.
Yeah, I was waiting for the spot. I was like, well, we've moved too many of these boards, so now it's just going to break through.
Hanare volunteers to die first and suplexes Kid into the exposed ring, and all those boards are just hanging there. They're just loose. Coughlin mercilessly beats Hanare with a kendo stick. And then he goes, that's what you f***ing get when you mess with the war dogs, you stupid motherfucker. Akira hook kicks Coughlin in the face 5 times. they're just like, let's end this with a bang. And he just did it over and over and over again. I was like, 4, you're gonna start? Nope, 5. Yep, you got to. Tandem tombstone from Kid and Coughlin onto Akira. That's what you get for hook kicking my buddy in the face 5 times.
Yeah, don't appreciate that too much.
Well, Osprey is staring opposite of the war dogs, and you can tell it's time to pay the piper.
Yeah. And then he very intelligently grabs Akira and puts him on top to use him as a human shield to keep himself safe. But he accidentally loses his grip, and and Akira falls out of the ring, leaving Will Osprey defenseless. What, he was trying to protect him? Oh, dang it.
Philly is like, hit me! Hit me! Hit me! But Will ain't got no strength left to hit him.
Oh, my God. He couldn't even get there.
Last gasp of strength, and he just couldn't make it. And, like, God damn it, that's how you tell a story. Yeah. That is how you tell a good story. Into oblivion on the barbed wire-wrapped knee of David Finlay. The War Dogs win in 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 5 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
The War Dogs run New Japan. And you know why? Because they want dogs for real.
Oh, baby. Arf, arf.
And it's not the barbs. It's not the kendo sticks. It's not the chairs or even the tables. But the crowd that have Osprey in the ring.
Weeping like a woman.
Yeah.
Don't give the sucker no confetti. Give him guts.
Seriously. Best reception a loser's ever gotten.
And into the tender embrace of Alice Walker, the crowd chants Osprey, Osprey, and he buries his face into her shoulder.
Weeping like a woman.
Now here's a bit of interesting trivia that might have you saying, Osprey, you dirty donk. You remember that Ryan Smile died a couple years ago. Osprey paid tribute to him when he did that real sick Tope Con Hero over the ring post to the outside. Okay. Alice Walker is his widow.
All right.
Osprey, dirty dog.
Hey. Love blossoms in strange soil sometimes.
Yeah. He's a dirty dog for real.
Speaking of blossom, follow our link tree.
Yeah. linktr.ee/JUWrestling. Yeah, I was like, who is this? Because I know he, you know, he broke up with B. Priestley and kayfabe, but we would say not amicable circumstances.
No, that didn't go over very well.
I mean, you know, she's a good sport for going, you know what, let me that's a true professional wrestler right there. Yes. B. Priestley, she was kayfabing the whole time. Let me, you know, like, I know you and I are shoot breaking up, but let me put you over one last time.
We'll work it one time. No, that's a trooper.
Yeah, that's a damn good sport right there. So, yeah, it's
put him over on the way out the door.
Yeah,
just like the greats.
Yeah.
Speaking of Okada.
Yeah,
going out against Tanahashi, winning.
You know, that's what Yuji? Not Yuji Nagata. He's not Nakanishi. Nakanishi's world tour when he was retired, he was beating everyone.
Yeah, he had that momentary resurgence.
Oh, God, I was like, remember what Nakanishi did? Yeah, our girl wanted to do that. Okay, you're still gonna lose on your last match. Nah. That drives down my stock. Listen.
Yeah, with Ishii taking the pin.
Listen, I don't need to put over anyone in United Empire. They're already over. I need to put over the people of my own group whom I'm abandoning.
Callum, who?
Jeez. Yeah, just even a bit more there. Now you got Chaos leaderless. You got United Empire leaderless.
They've been rudderless. Now they're leaderless.
Okan in the post-match comments sort of gave props to Will Ospreay and said when we were discussing about how United Empire will go, he was the one who came up with the name United Empire, by the way, Great Okan.
Of course. He's the heart and soul of that team.
Not called great for nothing.
Yeah.
When they were putting things together, he's like, I don't speak any English. And we, you know, we're just trying to put stuff together. He's like, I think this should kind of be more of like a coalition of equals. And Osprey's like, okay, yeah, we can run that. And he's like, just that little bit made me go, you know what? Osprey's a good guy. I didn't see the rest, but you know, if I had to safely assume, you know.
And then he immediately started coming out in Versace suits.
Weeping like a woman.
Yeah, it's I have to assume he's like, we're gonna share our true feelings here today. Still kayfabing. We are gonna share our true feelings.
That group's never seemed like super. I mean, Will Ospreay's been the ace of the group, but yeah, it doesn't have like that Bullet Club style hierarchy.
Yeah, I would argue, you know, Okan, Hanari, Cobb are all equally great in different ways.
Yeah, during the pandemic when Ospreay wasn't around and stuff, like, but Okan carried that group and has always been, you know, really good at connecting with the crowd because he's the one that speaks Japanese, not Will Ospreay. So it's like you gotta have somebody who can relate to the local audience. And Great Okan's done a good job of that.
That is very true, and also he's a legitimately recognized hero. So it's
he's got a certificate.
Yeah, keys. He's got keys to the handcuff, keys to the city, baby.
Keys to the eye.
Well, that's the end of new beginning in Osaka, but we got new beginning in Sapporo coming up. Any final thoughts about that night? Was that not one of the craziest spectacles you've ever seen? Because I will say that for myself, that was nuts.
No, I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that, and it was super exciting, and probably I'm glad that I've taken a break on AEW too, because then I haven't seen a lot of bloody chairs and tables and stuff in a while, so I was ready for it, and it delivered great. War Dogs, man, they got potential.
Whoever's brainchild it was. Mm-hmm. And ultimately getting promoted to leader of Bullet Club, That's a real big vote of confidence in you.
Yeah.
So to that end, I'm not worried about how I'm going to enjoy David Finlay in the future. I think we have just sort of in several documentable cases had our expectations defied with some of these people, you know, working in New Japan as they've had time to grow and evolve. So I'm not worried about David Finlay. He's already set up with the, you know, the best faction that's not House of Torture. And he's set up with the best tough guy faction. Like, if I were going to describe what Suzuki Goon is in my mind, it's the War Dogs.
Yeah, they are legit menaces.
Yeah, and that's what you want.
That's what I want out of that group. I want them just causing havoc,
right?
Making a mess, and you're always looking over your shoulder like they're gonna come out and mess things up,
right? And it's almost weird how Bullet Club really did just logically just have this natural dichotomy emerge where it's like, okay, we're going to take all the things that makes this great and split it into two entities. All of the cheating's going over here. All the menace is going over here. And the tag team titles are right in the middle of the line for whatever friggin' reason.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even really think about it, that it's the two spirits.
Yeah, it's... yin and yang, but like black and like blacker.
Right. Our big part of violence has a little tiny bit of cheating inside. Hey, our big thing of cheating has a little bit of violence inside. Let's be friends forever. We'll never leave each other for real.
True balance. Well, all right, let's read the closing notes here. Fortunately, we actually managed to get out of this thing in a reasonable amount of time. Well, not really. It's been about an hour.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. I thought we were looking at under an hour for a minute there. I thought we would do that, but this cage match. No, this cage match was over an hour.
Yeah. To check out all the other wonderful podcasts on the Jabroni U Podcast Network, follow the Jabroni University Podcast Network on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Jabroni U and at JabroniU.com. There you can follow the exploits of the Allen Club on Why Did We Ever Meet. Tune into Biff Radio. Be a fly on the wall at Locals Barbershop after hours. Listen to all new hip-hop on Flow and Tell. I don't even know why I say Locals Barbershop anymore, because I haven't changed the script. Draft pop culture on our flagship show, The Draft Podcast. Now listen, if you're sitting here going, hey, Daniel, I listen to The Draft Podcast on Spotify, but they haven't had a new episode since November of 2022. Well, let me tell you something here, mister. That's just not true. James had to reboot the Draft Podcast under a different thing. So just look for the Draft Podcast. Look for The Last Man Alive. That's how you'll find one of the more recent episodes. Now there's one with me. I was in the first Last Man Alive episode. They redid it with Drew, because Drew wasn't there for the first one. Last Man Part 2. When you see that one, that's the Draft Podcast you want to follow. You'll click on it and be like, I'm not following the Draft Podcast, but I thought I was. You need to refollow them. That's fine. But you can find everything at jabroniu.com. You know, it's your gateway to everything there. So you follow all the wonderful podcasts. You go to jabroniu.com to do it. You give all the podcasts a 5-star rating. You like, you share. You retweet, you subscribe, or else we're getting you in a cage for 1 hour, 4 minutes, 5 seconds. 1 hour, 4 minutes, 5 seconds, playtime.
Oh, yeah.
I need to set that so it just refreshes and doesn't stop when I press the button. I can do that. I just need to do it. I can read. I don't like to read. I don't really want to read. So now we're coming up next. Fantasticomania is going on for the next week. If you feel like watching some CMML action, that's, you know, we're not, it's all week. You get a break on Thursday, but it's for the rest of the week until Monday. Then you get a bit of respite, and then on the February 23rd, we start New Beginning in Sapporo. And so, night one is going to be a Friday, and, you know, I work on Friday and Saturday now, so I really have to figure out a way to either cram stuff in or not take notes, and it looks like I'm not going to have to take a lot of notes for a lot of these, and I'm not going to.
That's the spirit.
You got a Frontier Zone match with people in it. Who cares? Yuji Nagata versus Zack Sabre Jr. Okay. We got Oleg Taguchi and Togi Makabe versus Kanemaru Takahashi and Ren Narita. We got Okada's final match. Yo, Yoshihashi, Goto, Ishii, and Okada versus... sorry, this is his penultimate match. Versus Callum Newman, Akira, Hanare, Great Okan, and Jeff Cobb. There are actually five people there, so I don't know why they're throwing Matt Riddle into that last one, but whatever. LIJ versus J5G, who cares? All right, some championship matches. The IWGP Women's Championship match between champion Mayu Iwatani. She's taking on Mina Shirakawa. Despy is taking on Sho for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. Sho, of course, being the current holding champion.
Of course, naturally.
Shota Umino is taking on Evil. Evil's defending the Openweight Championship, which he actually has legal possession of. Tanahashi is taking on Matt Riddle. And
Matt Riddle.
Yeah, for the TV Championship. So go Ace. You know, and the main event, David Finlay is defending the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship against Nick Nemeth. That's gonna be
forward to that.
Yeah, that's gonna be a fun one to watch.
I love Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, he's great, and
always have.
And man, you know, if they just feel like shifting around champions for no apparent reason, I'd love to immediately throw some gold on Nick there and have him run around.
He signed with like TNA or somebody. He signed with somebody, right?
Yeah, he's at TNA.
I'm not giving up on Nick Nemeth in the G1. I would love that so much.
No, it's and it's gonna be good.
I'm excited to see him work this style. I'm curious what it's going to be.
G1, that's the one that lets you go like, I've seen everything that I could see out of this guy. So, and even sometimes it's going, man, this guy's G1 was so much better than this last G1. So there's a lot of potential there in the future.
Yeah.
The next night, we're still in Sapporo, and it's still a new beginning, but this is the end of the beginning.
Those lucky devils, they get two nights.
Yeah, baby. More Frontier Zone action. Then we got Oleg Yo, Makabe, Despy, and Shota Umino. Gosh, they really put Despy into a faction and immediately said, well, Suzuki's going away forever, and we're putting Ren in House of Torture.
Yeah.
The right decision.
They never really had anything, and now they don't have anything.
Yeah. It's I don't even know that Strong Style pops up when he comes out anymore, so
I thought it did last time I saw it, but yeah, who knows? We'll see.
Who knows? Next match, we got Chaos. This is the Kazuchika Okada final, even though you think it would say that in the things. Guys, final match in the middle of a card. Okada really doesn't care.
Yeah.
Versus United Empire, but with Matt Riddle. So, I mean, gotta put him somewhere.
It's the second match, too. It's not even like one of the last warm-up matches.
No. No.
The dreaded second spot.
Here's all the matches that are going above Okada's final match in the card. Listen, it's quickly followed
by, oh my god,
it's Okada's match, but I'm telling you, this match is correctly placed on the card.
No, it's where it belongs.
Yeah, okay. Matches that are above Okada's final match in New Japan. A Gorillas of Destiny Classic versus New Gorillas of Destiny. That'll be fun. Yeah,
gotta give those guys a little extra time.
That's Yeah, we'll pass the torch there. You guys. It turns out the gorillas are the friends we made along the way. Now we've Ooh, we crossed the 90-minute mark. We got the ass of Reese Kitaguchi. We get one every 30 minutes. It's a rule that I've arbitrarily imposed. And ooh, and Nick Nemeth versus Gato and David Finlay.
What an odd pairing. I think we're going to be seeing some underwear from both of them.
Yeah, it's you know what? I will wager $5 that they are both wearing matching underwear.
I would not go up against that bet. I'm not gonna.
No, you don't want to lose that $5. That's sure money for me.
Yeah, no, not doing that. No fool.
Yeah, just hand the money to me now, and it'll just be easier that way. Bushi versus Taka Michinoku in the battle of who could care less.
Wow.
I love that song. That's my favorite song on that Ben Folds 5 album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good eating right there.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's really the battle of the pen eaters there. Hiromu Takahashi versus Doki. That one's gonna be good. Shingo Takagi versus Taichi, and that one's gonna be good.
Mm-hmm. Yoda's future's on the line here.
Yeah, Yoda Tsuji versus Uemura in a hair versus hair match.
I didn't know Yuya wanted to be bald. Oh, God. There's no way they're shaving Tsuji. Although he would look quite menacing with a... He could look pretty menacing with bald look and keep the mustache.
Yeah, Yuya Uemura wouldn't...
Yuya was not going to look good bald.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd look like a young boy again.
Yeah, it's going to take 5 years off him. Tsuji can look intimidating.
I think...
Look like a young Iska.
And also he always has the opportunity to, you know, then shave his head in the, you know, he goes to Suzuki's barber and be like, hey, you know what to do. I want to look
make
crazy.
Make tire tracks.
And Naito defends against Sonata. Who the hell cares?
What? Rematch? Yeah. Who gave this bum a rematch?
Don't give him a rematch.
This is what I've been
waiting
for
guts.
All this time. New beginning. This is a old reheated main event.
And so, yeah, that's coming up on the 23rd and 24th, respectively.
What a letdown. I'm disappointed now.
Sorry, the 23rd and 24th. That's right.
24th, yeah.
Anniversary event on the 6th, provided everything goes well. That means we're going to see Naito and Desperado tussling in the main event. Yes. And that'll be
fun. I'm looking forward to that. I like that.
And that's March 6th, the next day. That's the kickoff to New Japan Cup season, baby.
Oh, baby. We're making brackets.
You know we're making brackets, and you know we're doing a preview show for that as soon as the cup comes out. When the roster comes, so too will the naming, the ceremonial naming of the brackets. And
George Memorial bracket.
Yeah.
Lives forever.
Yeah. It's who's worthy to inherit the mantle of Dragon George, if not the actual Dragon Shingo Takagi?
Oh yeah, that is the interesting thing is we're gonna have to figure out where we're gonna apply that title.
Yeah,
it's always so easy.
what embodies the spirit of Okada? It's a one dash. I'm definitely gonna win all of my matches.
Yeah, is it the front runner? Is it just sheer greatness? Is it contempt for your lessers?
Sprinkle a I don't care what's happening here and a corporate elbow there. And yeah, that kicks off on the 6th. New Japan Cup starts the 7th, and that's we gotta off to the races there. That'll be all through the 20th, so we'll try to as the brackets reduce, give you some updates there. That'll just kind of happen as it happens. I suppose I could schedule it, but there's you got the first two nights, right? That's probably all the brackets, and then you'll have a bracket a night, so 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 1 and 2, One, two, yeah, it's about like that. It's fine.
Yeah, they'll make it work.
Yeah, the first round will get done fast. I'm sure they're going to put all the new guys in one bracket because they love doing that.
They do love doing that.
But, you know, maybe we'll see some people in the New Japan Cup year that we, you know, don't normally see. Maybe Nick Nemeth will be hanging around and be like, hey, I want to hang out for the new, I like that. I'll take some of that. And, you know, maybe Mox comes around and goes, hey, I'm not doing anything in March.
You guys want to lead?
The Crimson Red. The Crimson Red bracket. That's funny. The blood usually gets off on the second floor bracket.
Nailed it.
And that's it. Any final thoughts there, Bonesaw?
It's good to look at the schedule, get back into the New Japan season after the little lull after whatchamacallit, Wrestle Kingdom. Let's see what the new guys can do, or the young guys can do.
Yeah. Anything you don't want to see happen? What's a really dumb thing that would maybe might happen that you would be like, that's dumb?
Sonata wins the title back.
I knew you were gonna say it, but I had to be sure.
Yeah,
I don't want that. Okay,
no, they're gonna ride Naito for a while there. Like I was saying, they need the drawing power that only Naito can provide.
Yeah, they need a champion who's not immediately gonna turn around, get beat, and start
weeping like a woman.
Yes. Oh boy. All right, that's it. I'm your host, Daniel Salorzano. Boats, I'll say goodnight to the lovely people.
Goodnight.